It's tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I think my neighbors have had their Christmas decorations out for, a month, it seems like, since October. And look, that's fine. Do what you want to do on your own property. We put out our Christmas lights this last weekend. We usually try to do that as quickly after Thanksgiving as possible so that we can enjoy them. And the house will be decorated at some point here. Now, before we get to Christmas, the church at least spends some time in Advent. So, how about some Advent decorations? Joining us to talk about decorating for Advent, Holly Shear. She's a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Five Ways to Decorate and Meditate During Advent. Holly, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for having me.
This time of the year, most people are thinking about, when they think decorating, they're thinking about Christmas decorations. Why should they think about Advent first?
I think anytime you go into Target or Walmart or your supermarket right now, you are bombarded with Christmas music, right, and decorations. And it's so easy to forget that it's not Christmas right now, it's Advent. And that's a huge mistake. We have Advent to remind us about the coming of Jesus, the way that he comes in Christmas, sure, but the way that he's going to come in the end of times. And I think that's why it's really important for us to remember Advent as adults, and those of us with children to remember Advent with our kids. And I think that's why I wrote the article on The Federalist today with my dear friend Vanessa, that we wrote this article to remind people that, hey, it's not Christmas yet. Knock that off. You can enjoy Christmas, fine, but do that when it's actually Christmas. It's Advent right now.
We are mostly accustomed to seeing one of the primary decorations of Advent in the church being an Advent wreath. Describe what this is, and why does it also belong as decoration and kind of a focus of meditation in our homes?
Sure. An Advent wreath can be really as simple or as complex as you want. It can be an actual wreath, as you would guess by the name, or it can be a set of candles. It can be, if you're a really crafty person, something you sit down and make with your children. It can be something that you just pick up at the store. It's really something to just help you mark the time as you sequentially go through the weeks of Advent. And I think that's why it's one of the best decorations to start your Advent preparations with if you're kind of dipping your toes into Advent for the first time, because it doesn't have to be expensive, it doesn't have to be complicated, and it's practical, it's useful. That's what we kind of want with all of our decorations, right?
It's also one of those things we had, I think, growing up, an Advent calendar, which was just a, if I remember, kind of a felt or kind of flannel thing with a bunch of little pockets or doors. And each day leading up to Christmas during the season of Advent, we would open it. There'd be like a little Bible passage and some little, at the time when I was a kid, I thought they were toys, but they were just little ornaments that mm-hmm. would point towards something. But the Advent wreath is kind of a week by week thing. Are you thinking about lighting candles on Sunday evening or something like that?
Yeah, you can light the candles Sunday evening. You can also light the candles. There's usually one candle that goes along with each week every single night as you do Advent devotions as a family. And it can be like a neat and special part of your nightly family devotions then to go along with Advent.
Does the nativity scene belong during the Advent season?
So I know that I just totally said don't do Christmas things during Advent, but I am going to say put out your nativity scene during Advent, but don't put out all of it. Advent is the coming, right? And so set it up little bit by little bit. Put out the manger. Put out the animals night by night. Put out, if you have the innkeeper, put out the stars. It doesn't have to be one and done. So set out a couple figures at a time. Don't put out baby Jesus until Christmas night, though. Don't put Mary and Jesus in the manger. If you have kids and they're small, or even if they're big and they're still willing to be kind of playful with you, set Mary and Jesus somewhere else in your house. And as you're doing those nightly Advent devotions, kind of move them across your house, getting closer and closer to your actual nativity scene, and use that as a visual reminder that as we're doing these devotions, as we're reading the story about all of the things that were going on preparing for Christmas, that Mary and Joseph were actually traveling, you know, this distance, going to Bethlehem, getting ready for Christmas. It's a really sweet way to get ready for Christmas.
I know that the kind of traveling of the pieces to the stable works for Mary and Joseph. It also works post-Christmas for the wise men to have them show up around their real appearance at Epiphany.
It does, and I think that's a really fun thing to do with kids, and I think it's a really great way to remind the children that, you know, those wise men weren't there Christmas Eve, and that, you know, it did take time for them to get there, and you can talk about, you know, they had to go a huge distance to get there. That's a great point.
So another way of decorating that you've described is not so much visual, but auditory, and that's Advent music.
Yes. As Lutherans, we have this amazing tradition of hymnody, and it is so rich and such an awesome teaching tool. And when we rush right into Christmas, we really miss out on all of the great Advent hymns. And I think that does all of us a huge disservice.
The music that you're going to hear during Advent isn't going to sound a lot like Christmas. And I think a lot of people who want to start hearing their Christmas music right after Thanksgiving, not that there's really anything wrong with that, but they want that, they might be a little let down. They might say, well, this doesn't sound enough like the season for me. Is there a learning curve there on that Advent music?
I think there's a big learning curve because Christmas carols are, they're a little bit more joyful. They're a little bit more upbeat. They are the ones that we hear with like the big ringing notes, and the Advent ones are a little bit more somber and serious and maybe slower in some cases, but there's some really beautiful theology in there too. And I think some of those, if you practice them with your family, can end up being real favorites.
What is a chrismon and why are they useful for Advent decoration?
Okay, first, chrismons are not a terribly old tradition. They are, if your tree in church, whether it's in the front, the back, out in the narthex, if your church doesn't have a tree, I guess, they are kind of the symbols that can be a little hard to figure out exactly what they are, but hanging on the tree. A woman in Virginia, she took Christian symbols throughout the ages and she cut them out and put them on the tree, and she used them as a visual representation to teach the faith, and that is actually a really old idea in Christianity. So chrismons are a new take on an old idea, visual representations for teaching. So she kind of combed through traditional Christianity and pulled out symbols that could be embroidered or, you know, cut out of felt or paper and sprinkle glitter on them. There's a pretty extensive list available online for free that you can look up, and it includes things like, you know, the cross, different versions of the cross, the Latin cross, the Irish cross, the triumphant cross, the Jerusalem cross, the fish, the Star of David, all of those different things that you can then use either as you're making them or as you're looking at them through Advent to talk about with your children. This is why this is on this tree, and this is what this means, and this is what it meant to Christians throughout history. And usually included in chrismons is the white rose, which was a symbol for Mary, and you can include that, or you can tweak it a little bit and make it into a Luther's rose, which might be slightly more appealing for some of us Lutherans.
And I guess that raises the question about the tree. If you have an artificial tree, you can leave it up as long as you want. Some people say, well, I really want that tree to be kind of at its peak, and I want to be able to enjoy it all the way up until Christmas. What are your thoughts on putting the tree up during Advent?
So we don't have our tree up yet. I'm not going to judge people who have their tree up yet. Our focus has been a little bit more on Advent and then getting things ready at our church. I think if you want to put it up because you want to use it to start preparing for Christmas, I think that's beautiful and it's wonderful. And I think if you want to wait till closer to Christmas, that's wonderful too. No judgment either way.
But there's a different kind of tree that you write about in the Federalist, and that is a Jesse tree. How do you describe what this is?
Yeah, Jesse trees are really kind of gaining prominence in Lutheranism. It was a little bit more of an evangelical kind of pan-Protestant thing before that. And this is another kind of pre-literate tradition where, you know, the verse from the Bible about Jesus would come, you know, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse and the branch from his root shall bear fruit. So you have the idea of this stump. So think of like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. This is not like the beautiful full Christmas tree we normally think of. Think of more a branch. And then this goes much more with Advent than a Christmas tree because it's more the preparation, creation through Jesus would be the story of the Jesse tree. All of the people who came in the Old Testament and then the beginning of the New Testament leading up to the Savior.
You talk about these Advent decorations also kind of in a practical way in terms of the family, saying that it gives you a chance to, as you say, relax, breathe, enjoy this time with family and friends before you spend hours untangling the mess of twinkle lights or pulling out the artificial tree. Talk about the benefit of holding off Christmas because it may well be kind of good for the family to do that.
I think families are too busy, and as busy as things feel when your children are little, and you can attest to this, the older your children get, the more busy everything gets. And sometimes it's nice to just slow everything down a little bit and take time to just be together. And Advent is a wonderful opportunity to do that too, to just take a moment and pause and enjoy your family. Make some memories because they're not going to be small forever. And as hard as some of the days and the moments and the hours are, they're going to be gone so fast.
Holly Shear is author of an article for The Federalist titled Five Ways to Decorate and Meditate During Advent. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Holly, thank you very much for being our guest.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
On the other side of the break, in hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today, we're going to be listening to Beth Moore's teaching on baptism, or maybe we should call it a lack of teaching on baptism. Pastor Chris Roseboro of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.